It's 7 o'clock, and do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I make a motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Get up, state the flag, and lower our hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Take a moment of silence. Okay. Is there anybody? Okay. We have a new person in the audience. So if everybody would take a moment to introduce themselves, we'll start with Deb.
I'm Deb Weiss. I live on Dickerson Court and I'm the city clerk.
I'm Linda Beville and I am the utilities commissioner.
I'm Carol Campbell. I'm the road commissioner.
I'm Harold Hall. I'm the property maintenance commissioner.
Dennis Metcalf. I'm the safety commissioner.
I'm Bob Stoneham, the mayor. Over here to my left is Dan. He's out in the hallway talking on the phone. Hey, Dan Small. He's our city treasurer. And when our city attorney shows up, he'll be sitting over here. He's Steve Swagger. All right. Is there anybody in the audience that has anything they want to bring up? Okay.
I'll introduce myself. I'm Mark Ballinger, resident.
Oh, you're Mark.
Yeah, Worthington.
Okay.
On Bay Road Drive.
Okay. Hey, Mark.
Nice to meet you all.
Welcome.
You too.
Okay. First thing on the agenda is the minutes. They were distributed. They're also on the website. Is there any corrections, additional corrections need to be made or anything? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Moving along to the September financial reports. Again, those are posted on the website. They're also distributed. Was there any corrections or did anybody find any problems? Man, this is great. Do I hear a motion to accept the September financial reports?
Motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Who's that? Is that
me?
You?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Yeah, I didn't get here. Here comes the reimbursements. We passed around a sheet that has all the financial expenses, and we're in the process of signing off on them. So once we get this done, that'll be approval by signature or by initials. All right. Since the city attorney's not here yet, I wonder if he's even coming. Is there any old business we need to talk about?
Do you want to talk about that bush hog now?
Sure.
Yeah,
because you had that in or the...
I mean, it's old business. He brought it up 6 months ago.
Yeah, your contractor brought it up 6 months ago.
No. I'm saying Sawyer brought up taking care of this spot 6 months ago. I got the price six months ago, but we got into a point where we're ready to do it. Now we're ready to do it.
Okay, all right. Sawyer, our scout person back here, has a project for... Is it a badge?
No, for my Eagle Scout project.
For Eagle Scout project, okay.
That's a badge.
So, anyhow, if you would, Sawyer, I know you've been working on this for a while. Would you like to make a presentation?
Yeah. So, I've got some price sheets. The biggest associated cost that I'm going to be going through is going to be the lumber and associated materials for making a set of flower beds to be able to store some different stuff in, whatever you guys would like. So, as you can see on here, the total cost is going to be about $340. I am going to be able to get a 20% discount, but because the wood is so scarce right now, I really can't get anything more than that.
10 or 20?
What?
10 or 20?
20.
Okay.
So I'm going to be requesting about half of that cost, which is going to be $170, to be donated by the city to cover half of this project. So I was wondering if I'll be able to get that from you guys.
Do we need to make a motion?
What is this going to be? I'm sorry.
So I'm making a set of raised flower beds.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they're going to be 6x2 and 4 foot tall.
Okay. Where are they going to be?
Wherever you'd like.
Yeah, it's the space behind John Rice's house on Murray Court, that wooded area. We're going to clean up and mulch it and put some make it, take it kind of beds. Community beds. You want to put some irises in there that you don't need? By all means, please feel free. You want to take some hostas? Help yourself.
Give and take.
Just a community garden. We've been talking about it for a year. Longer than that, actually. Sawyer's just making it happen.
Well, I think that's a wonderful project, and I make a motion that the city donate the $170 that you need for this project, since it benefits the city, the whole city.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville.
Are you going to put some tomato plants in it?
I can put whatever you want.
Do you want us to put some tomato plants in it? Do you like tomatoes, Linda?
Oh, yeah.
God, I throw them away by the 5-gallon bucket.
Oh, no, I don't even talk about them.
I still have tomatoes.
Because I'm done with mine.
We'll talk about it after the meeting, but I probably have 2 5-gallon buckets of sweet banana peppers right now.
All right. So, let's take a roll call vote, and I'll start with Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
Commissioner Beville.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Mayor Stoneham, yes. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All
right, so we have one more piece of old business.
Okay, go ahead.
It pertains to the same thing. So in that wooded area, there's a bunch of everything growing up. We've cleaned it out. We've got all the old dead logs and debris out of there. We did that last year. But it's about tractor trailer load of that stuff came out. But now we've got all the saplings that were cut down. All that stuff's trying to grow back now. And I've got a price from the guy that did the tree on Lunenburg Court to come in and basically with a bush hog just take all that down to the dirt. And that's his quote was $600. So I need to get that done before Sawyer can backfill that with mulch and take care of what he's doing. So we need to get that approved.
Okay, so this is for that area that's behind, it's John in the open Rice. Space behind John Rice's house.
Yeah,
it's a nice little squared area. It's all basically real nice to have something in there. And so how much is the price?
It's actually just a little under $600. Just call it $600 for the just for the approval. It's like $597 or something.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to go ahead and start that project on clearing out that area that we're going to do the community garden area.
A second.
Well. Okay.
Should somebody else second?
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Anything else in old business anybody wants to bring up? I see our city attorney has made it. All right.
What about 23rd and 7th? You're out of gas. It says zero miles. And I sweat and stuff in the gas. And I go up to a pump where it's so much.
Okay. So now I guess we'll go with the city attorney's report. Do you have anything on ground effects?
No, I haven't heard from them, but they've assured us that they will contact us when they
do something.
I meant to call them today, and I didn't. I got sidetracked. You know, they notify them if they're in violation, and then they give them so many days to get into compliance, and then if they don't, then they charge them in court. So the one thing that, because it's taking longer than one would expect, my suspicion is that they're not complying completely. They're asking for more time, because if they had gotten the message and complied, then I think I would have heard from them. It's usually...
Right.
Then delaying things and maybe asking for more time. And one of the things that, believe me, these people know what they're doing. I used to prosecute agency cases when I was much younger and had a private practice. I couldn't practice criminal law, but these agencies flat know what they're doing, and they enforce the law. And if they don't, they bring you to court, then you're going to wind up paying sufficient, you know, big fines and stuff like that. So I think it's the arrogance of the company. They're tied to Ford. Dan, have you noticed a difference in the lights at night or anything?
Ask those guys. I sleep.
There's Mark Ballinger.
Mark, how are you?
Ballinger, yeah.
Ballinger.
How are you doing?
Greg, you're a good writer, man.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Nice to meet you in person.
Can you write some briefs for me if I need some help?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah, like for me, it's a big concern. Okay.
And rightfully so.
Well, yeah. Dan, I mean, like, I'm sure he's, you know, impacted, but maybe not in the same ways. And we all have our own tolerances.
Sure.
But my biggest grievance is the fact that, you know, I moved in to this property, and that did not exist.
Right.
And for those that aren't aware, I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, imagine you move into a home, and you live there about 10 years, and about 6-7 years after you moved in, you have all of a sudden a factory next door,
yeah,
turning out noise, pollution, lights. I mean, like, that's what I'm living in right now.
Right.
And I'm not happy about it.
No,
I'm very upset about it.
We're going to stay on top of them. It's not like the New York lawyer that moves into Butchertown and complains about the smell after he improves the house by, you know, 200.
Right, exactly.
It stinks.
It smells like the air coming out of an old car.
It's the opposite of what you're dealing with, so...
Well, it is really opposite in a lot of ways, right? I mean, like, because, you know, if you move into a situation and you have that expectation, you know, that's on you. Okay.
You're getting middle one.
What do you got?
Yeah, I'm the ground zero, too. I probably got the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
It does. It smells like an old car.
I wonder why I didn't get this.
I don't know who that guy built for you.
Well, I know they already did some pollution tests and things like that, right? That's already been passed at this point.
Yeah.
We had somebody come out and qualify the air and, you know, also other things that were emanating from that property, and they said everything was in the clear. So they already passed that.
Right. Of course, they come out in the middle of the day where, you know, depending on wind and stuff, you're not going to have the stink. It's probably more prevalent at night when the wind isn't, you know, howling. It's like the parrot that doesn't talk, you know. I got a parrot that talks, and I invite you over, Bart, and it doesn't talk, you know. I swear to God, it talks, you know. So,
right.
It's probably a poor analogy, but here's a letter to what, can you give me the letter up again? I don't want to know your dad.
It's definitely a southeast wind. It's not the hamburger joint, believe me.
I guess,
you know,
there's two things that are most obvious. I don't see how these trees that they planted.
There is no trees. They have not planted any trees.
Standard. That is being vetted by someone who's an arborist. Well, I'll let you know that Mike Rocher, works for government, is reviewing the most recent plan submitted by Kyle. He operates the plan over here. Doesn't meet the approved plan. If any element notice a violation would likely be issued. Either way, what you're doing, it appears to me by this, is they're submitting a new plan. is reviewing the most recent plan. So I'm going to get all over Wilkie's butt tomorrow and say, why in the hell have you included me in this? He promised me that I would get notice of everything.
It was September 26th.
Yeah, I mean, so I take everything back that I said about government.
Well, they definitely got theirs.
I would jump all over this.
Well, see, this is the problem that I have with it. Once you got the information that you provided
to us.
Can you
give me a copy of that if I give you my email? Do you have my email?
That's your email.
You can send that to me.
Yeah, I got it.
Is they were supposed to maintain that tree lane. Okay, they were supposed to plant trees to start with. They never did.
Then we had some wind that came in and damaged.
No.
Was that a fabrication on your part?
There was wind that come through, but they never put the trees in that was agreed to in that plan.
Yeah, those were big, old, established trees.
Those were established
trees.
They
never had any trees.
Oh, yeah.
They did behind my house.
They never had any trees?
They did behind my house.
Oh, they had tons of trees. They tore a tree line down, essentially. You know, like the thing that was blocking a lot of the life that I see now has been removed.
Right.
And, you know, I was very patient about it, actually.
Right.
They
sent out
that flyer, and they said, hey, look, we have a solution. We're going to plant a tree line of evergreens, essentially, along this property line.
Right.
We're going to, you know, tear all of the existing tree line out and put this in place. And I said, okay. So then I waited about 2-3 years, and most of the trees that they planted on my property were dead. And they didn't.
Because they didn't take care of them.
They didn't take care of the trees, but they also. I mean, like, it was just a terrible solution because they planted trees more than 6 feet apart. I mean, like, it was too far apart to actually make sense. Because if you actually look at the flyer, and I think that, you know, you've been provided with some of that, you know, and you've seen that. But on the flyer, it's got evergreens that are just kind of like built right next to each other. That is not what they deliver.
No. In my backyard, I mean, I planted them 30 years ago, but you can't see anything.
Right.
Now.
But they never did go.
They never put an irrigation system in, did they? That should have been part of the plan.
Well, I think Jim knows a lot more about that than I do, necessarily, because I sit upstream. You know, he's downhill. He's at the bottom. You know, he's at the basin in terms of water runoff, and that's why he had the biggest problems. You know, as soon as they did their renovations and, you know, refactorings, I'm sure you've already heard a lot about it. I don't want to regurgitate all of it, but, yeah, he ended up with 3 feet of water in his backyard.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing.
Okay.
They
gave you some money for that, didn't they?
$7,500. I had to do a sign-off. I still...
So they paid you off. You settled. You signed a document which says that that's the end of your damage.
But I cannot ask for any more money on nothing. I should have took the report, but everybody says...
Yeah, but did anything change after that?
Sir?
Is the condition still the same?
Oh, it's wonderful. I don't get any runoff water from that lock.
Okay, so that was money well spent. So the problem that Mark was talking about is not a problem anymore.
The water drain off between me and my next door neighbor is
yeah, MSD came in there and spent $20,000+ to fix it. Okay, but here's the thing. That document stated, and the owner of that property agreed to maintain that tree land if there was any damaged trees or dead trees. And we had that tornado come through on June 26, 2018. And nothing's been done with that tree line since, other than cutting out what was damaged. They did not replace the trees like is agreed to in that document.
I did some research.
If I may just also add, they blame a lot of the problems that they have on that tree line based off of that storm. That is not the fact.
No, but
that is not the fact. They had construction vehicles out there tearing down trees well before. We got the flyer in, late 2016. They started construction late 2016.
When were they constructing? The addition, the new building?
They were paving out the new property, yes. And you can see it on Google Earth if you want to. I've actually sent
you photos.
So they
did. They had it
before and after.
The paving is on the city easement.
You what?
Yes.
The new additional paving is on the city easement.
Yes.
And the only department that signed off on that was MSD. I think Harold told me that you have power lines and stuff under there. So years ago, a piece of land between the western boundary of the city of Woodland Hills and Murphy Lane was developed by Ben Peter, a good guy. And planning and zoning approved a straight road, whereas when you add on like that, it's supposed to be curvy so that people can't get up ahead of steam. Well, they didn't do anything about it. They planning and zoning approved a plan that shouldn't have been approved. So we filed a lawsuit. We put up a gate. And then they come in, everybody has a fit. So ultimately, the judge made a bad decision and told us to take the gate down. Well, I appealed the case, and the Court of Appeals ruled in my favor. It's a 15-page published opinion, 12-page. If anybody wants it, you want to have to send it out. But what they said was is that I followed the statute in getting permission from the property owners on either side of that gate, two property owners in Worthington Hills, two in the new development plan incorporated. And the only thing the Court of Appeals said I did wrong is I didn't get the approval of the utility companies that had lines going under that section. So if I was required to do that, and it's a published case, that helps us in this regard. If they paved over that when there are lines underneath that, I can use that as leverage. That's called precedent. But I also did initially research on nuisance, and there's all kinds of good case law out there where the people are sued for not doing what they're supposed to do. Their initial defense was, as well, this plan was approved. Our comeback would say, that would be part of our complaint. It wouldn't be the city, it would be, you know, representing you guys if it gets to that, and if they don't get on the stick. But we would say there was a plan in place, they had these binding elements, they were violated, they didn't maintain the trees, they continued to shine lights into people's houses, they continued to play rock and roll music on Friday morning. So that's a nuisance violation, and there are damages there. So, that's where we stand, but I'm really disappointed in Wiltshire that he didn't get back to me. You know, I'm happy that he sent you a letter, but he didn't send it to me. So I'll get all over this and tomorrow and I'll send out, I have your email. I've got your email, I think. If you send me a copy of the letter, I'll call Wiltshire in the first thing in the morning and say, why wasn't I copied on this? You need it back to me. Now you're talking about a new plan? You know, we were talking about a violation. You can't sit there and say, if you're charged with violating a plan with binding elements and you don't do that, I've never heard of this thing. We'll come in, we got a new plan. You know, you've been violating the original plan or the second plan, and you're going to come in and submit a new plan. And the tree thing is ridiculous. I mean, trees will absorb some light, but they have to get to a certain height because it's elevated and they're shining into your windows, right?
Well, they put up 40-foot floodlights. I mean, it's
not just the truck lights. That was the impression that it was the truck lights that were.
I've got multiple light factors that I'm.
Yeah,
but
the truck lights. They come in from Westport Road. They have their brights on. To be honest with you, I think that is a. Different issue. But the fact is, they have their brights on. My home sits right at that intersection at Westport Road, you know, where Rudy's is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I mean, these trucks are piling in, and their lights are shining directly into my
While they're moving.
But they always have their brights on when they come down this, this driveway into their property.
Let's get off.
And they turn them off as soon as they get onto the property that has the floodlights that are also blinding me.
Okay, the floodlights. So that's the first time I've heard about that, or if someone told me, I forgot.
Well, I put it in the email.
Okay, well, you know, I was falling asleep or something.
I'm just saying.
But the floodlights, why are the floodlights shining towards you? The floodlights should be shining back on the property.
Well,
that can be abated.
You don't need your yard lit up.
They can put a shield.
Turn them around. I think that would be an easy solution.
Their parking lot's 4 feet higher than my property is.
That's the problem. The house, the second floor of the houses is even with the parking lot. It basically, if somebody drives up there, the headlights of them trucks are even with the windows.
Yeah.
Okay. But also, those 40-foot lights, even though they're shining, even though
they're
quite power lights high.
Then what?
Then ground level.
Then ground level.
Then your ground level.
Yeah.
Okay.
They shine over top of 8-foot fence, in other words.
Yeah.
Well, they're 40 foot high, of course they will. But
I imagine they could shine those lights somewhat in a different direction.
So. Well, the lights on the pole, the 40 foot up, they're actually up there, but because of the way they're positioned, that's you still get the reflection. You still get enough backlight off of them to where it's there's nothing.
Well, what they do is they need directional lights, like you see in a football stadium and stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah. The people in the stands are not getting blinded by the lights. These are sophisticated, well-planned lights that are focusing on different parts of the field. They're not blinding anybody.
You also need to check.
There was no thought given. I want to check the plan to see if they put the right lights in.
You want me to call the light guy I know at LPE and find out if they have directional lights? I mean, if there's actually a fixture that's directional that you can...
Yeah, but that would be private industry, I think. They're going to tell you that they're out there, but I'm not sure that...
You also need to put in your discovery, find out where their videos point at. Because technically, if that video that they have, their surveillance, is focused on their back, they're violating the law.
Yeah, privacy.
Mm-hmm. And that's another reason those tree line need to be in there. Is to block any invasion of privacy.
I've already told Kent Medical Council, and I have a text on it. When they get whatever they're going to put up, trees or a wall, I let them know. The first time I get a headlight coming out of an inspection bay and shining in my living room, in my face, I'm calling the police.
Well, you'd have to take them. Yeah. Okay, I'm all in on this thing.
Okay.
I've had some things to clear up, and I'm pissed. Excuse my language.
Well, but obviously we are. We've been living in it. So, I mean, like, forgive us for maybe some of our passion, if you will.
I'm all right. I mean, the most important thing in your life, your family and your friends, but more in terms of objects, your house is the most important thing in your life.
Right.
Okay.
So, if I can, one last, and this may be specific to me, okay, but one last objection in terms of that property is the fact that, like I said, I sit on the side where they're coming out from Westport Road, okay, so on their facility, on their pavement, they have their trucks driving right up against my fence line and making a hard left turn. And this is the RCS property. You probably know it. It's right next to or across the street from. I guess there's nothing across the street.
Can you take a video of your thing and send it to me?
I think I may actually have some of those, but yes, certainly. I'll follow up with you. No problem.
Yeah, if you would just send me a video of what you're talking, and it doesn't have to be. Just to where you live, your house, and the intersection, and I can be able to turn around and call you.
Right. But I mean, like, here's my problem with that is that they make that hard left turn, there's tire screeching, you know?
Yes.
It's like, I'll be sitting out there, even if it's on, like, a Sunday morning, because they don't, their work schedule is strange. I don't know how to predict it. Sometimes Sundays they don't work, sometimes they do. But I'll be out there, like, you know, I'm just sipping a cup of coffee, and it's like, I mean, like, it's, and that's on a cadence of 8 minutes, you know? It's like every time they have more cars coming in there.
You do realize I only have 45 seconds to get from way down there up there. I mean, I know that's...
The place is a railway. I got 10 bucks.
I can almost run over.
Our police officer will tell you, Tate tells you that when they're coming out and they're heading back to the Ford plant, that they're running red lights, and then... You know, the cops are pulling up and they keep going. They get on the floor plan. The Ford security won't let them on there to issue tickets.
Yeah. I watched them the other day. It was Sunday morning. It was just after 7 o'clock. There wasn't that much traffic on Westport. They were sitting at the traffic light at Murphy Lane coming out. I had the green light. Well, I got through the green light. And it's, nobody else is around. As soon as I get through the green light, of course, I can look in my rear view mirror and still see it green. here comes the people out of RCS making a left-hand turn. They're the guys that drive these trucks.
Okay, RCS, sorry.
Okay. Making left turns out on the Westport Road to go down to the center parking area that's on the right side of Westport Road. This is on a red light on their side.
Yes. Yes.
They do this all the time. If there's no traffic, yeah, they come around.
Right. I saw that myself just the other day. Well, they turn left on a red light.
Well, I think it was about, it might have been a year ago, I saw some police officers sitting out at that intersection that they come out of. I'm not sure if it was because of them or what the deal was. All I know is that every time I came home for basically 7 days straight, there was a cop car parked on that median. Okay, and I think that they must have been monitoring, you know, like that.
They park a marked car out there to monitor them. Violating. That's typical.
Yeah, okay. They're just screwing off and have coffee and donuts. Who knows?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Let's move along. The condo development. The land value.
Bob, it's just, I sent you all an email.
I know you sent an email, but here's the things I want to know. First off.
Well, this has been set in stone for years. You're not, I mean, if there's taxing the correctly, then there's nothing we can do. You may not like what they're doing, but that's the way it is.
Can we tax them for the land? That was going to be my question.
You can't tax what they legally can't tax. We can't. If they can't.
They don't have a land value, right? Isn't that the term they use?
I don't see how it doesn't have a land value. It's got a building sitting on it.
That's what's paid. Hold on a minute.
That girl has only been down there for 3 years.
That girl knows what she's doing.
I just want you to go to state. I don't trust these people. I'm sorry.
We had
tax value on that land. I got 1 year where it had tax value on it.
Okay,
why is it right for the... Why is it... 16, I think. Why is it fair for them, for the condo owners not to be, or the condo association... not to have to pay for value on the land when I, as a property owner in the city of Worthington Hills, have to pay for my land and pay for my structure, my improvements?
Here's one from Cross Communities, Bay Garden Court. Land value $34,500. They're paying a tax on that.
Not Bay Garden Court, there aren't.
Crossman Communities, who must manage or own or something, have something to do with it. The Bay Garden condominiums is paying a tax on the land value. That's why you see land values. There's one, Trey's Holy Development. See, there's one. There's no bell. There's no land or improvement value.
That's exactly right.
Oh, wait a minute, because they own this particular development group. Trey's Holy Development.
I don't know how you can make an HOA pay out of fees they collect. I don't know how you could make an HOA pay property taxes on community space.
They're not.
Well, no, I mean, that's just my question.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't own.
You don't own any land at all. You can't, you know. If the homeowners association is charging for the use of that, that's far different than the ability to tax that. Condominium unit owners don't own any land. They don't own common elements.
Who owns the land?
What?
Who owns the land?
It was owned at one time by a development company that built the condominiums,
right,
and then.
Who owns the land now? Well, that's my question. Who owns the land now?
Well, here's another thing. If you see K, you see where it says K?
Yeah.
Crossman Communities owns the land, and they're being taxed. They've only got a value of $34,000. Now, if they're, so they value that property.
What's the address on that one?
4401 Bay Garden Court. It's a, so if you go down here, Cross New Communities, previously, that's what it was, Southeast Property Development, sold to Cross New Communities. The sale price was $215,000. That included land and the condominiums. And then the, I guess the land portion of that was $34,510. Then you had owner Southeast Property Development, previous owner they don't know. That's probably one of those big deeds that included a lot of properties. Not a big deed, but a deed that included a lot of properties. That was for $495,000. All I can tell you is that the PDA people are doing it according to...
I don't believe it. Okay. I don't believe it. Right. I do not believe it. And the reason why I don't believe it is because I have improvements on my less than a quarter acre, and I have my property. Now, my problem is we've got 6 acres or so on each one of those condo areas.
But once those condominiums build...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The land is not being taxed.
May I please finish what I...
Go ahead, but the land's not being taxed.
Once those buildings were put on that property, there were no more improvements made to the property. Ever. They have, we have an added a swimming pool.
Here's the thing. Okay, stop. Your condos is the improvement. Okay, your condos are the improvement. That's what we get.
You don't like the condominiums being in the city of Worthington Hills.
If we had houses there, we would have property tax on there. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I do not believe it. I do not believe it. And I will argue it to the point to where I'll call state if I have to. Yes. And if I find out it's different, then I want back friggin' taxes on it.
And who do you hope to get it from?
The Condominium Association, because in your master agreement, it states that you will pay for any kind of taxes. The condominium, the homeowner association pays for any taxes due on any kind of property.
But it does, but there aren't any.
Where are the condos sitting? Are the condos sitting in the air? They're sitting on land.
They don't own the land, Bob. They don't.
Well, who owns the land? Who owns the land?
Developers, I guess.
Well, then why aren't we getting taxed? Why aren't the developers getting taxed?
They're doing it right.
No, you're just too lazy to follow up with it to Frankfurt. You are too lazy to go to Frankfurt and make sure they're doing it right. I do not believe it. Oh, yes, they do. They're the ones that make the freaking damn laws over there.
Well, they're doing it right.
No, they're not.
Well, we need to find out because we certainly wouldn't want the city of Worthington Hills to go broke because the condominiums didn't pay their taxes. We've got 78 units that pay property tax to the city of Worthington Hills
for every single year.
You know, if we need, you know, I mean, we're paying our taxes. We're not living there taxes.
I didn't say you weren't paying for the improvements. I'm saying that every other property owner in Worthington Hills that owns a home pays property tax on the land. And as such, the Homeowners Association should be paying property tax on the land.
Is it the Homeowners Association or the developer that owns the property?
No, he's saying the
HOA. Owners don't own, the unit owners do not own.
No, they own the interior. I get it.
They don't
own the land. Well, who owns the land?
The developers own it.
Well, then why aren't the developers paying taxes?
They are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. Right here. Crossman Communities buys from Southeast. The purchase price is $215. The land value of that was $34. The rest were for the condominium units. They're paying a tax on the land value of $34,000.
We do not have a tax bill for that land.
Well, that's not our fault. Didn't you say
we
that
do
fault?
Not have a tax bill for that land. I have been through the tax bills. We do not have any tax bills coming to us for just land
well,
only anymore.
That's a procedural problem, then.
Yes, it's not our fault.
It's not.
If you don't send us a bill.
Well, if we don't get the bill, we get the bill from PVA. PVA is telling them we don't own. We don't get. I'm not saying that the condo owners pay the friggin' damn land. I'm saying the property owners pay the land tax.
Well, okay, I have a schedule. Hmm? We have.
I
don't think I have.
And I'd be willing to bet the PVA knows what they're talking about.
Bev, do you have on your computer? Do you bring your computer?
No, I didn't. Right. I'm sorry.
So, did anybody send me the 2020?
Yes.
Tax
twice.
That came in. Have you looked at that to see?
Yes, I have been. Steve, I went through every piece of property for the last 2 years.
Okay, have they ever paid taxes?
Yes, they have.
Okay, when was the last time they paid taxes?
The last time I saw it was 2016 or
2017. Only if you last appreciate.
And then they just suddenly stopped sending them.
Well, that makes no sense. If that's the case, then there's a problem. But it isn't. It's the sheriff's office for not sending us the bill.
The sheriff's office does not send us the bill for that.
Sorry,
the PDA sends.
But they are. But the
and if that particular property ID is not on the tax bill.
State it that way, I'll look into it.
I know the condo owners don't pay the tax on the property. The condo associations pay the tax. All right.
See tax schedule. The only thing that would have happened is that someone didn't pick up that transfer. See, PVA looks at every transfer of property.
I know it. I know it. I've had this discussion with
them. In that light, see your.
That's why I gave you the property IDs for all three of those lands. So somebody can do some kind of check to find out who owns the land. I know the condos owners don't own the land.
I'll do it. Okay. So we've covered that. We've covered the bad people.
All right, that's it. Is there anything else you need?
No, I'm good.
All right, new business. Has the commissioners got any new business?
Hey, kind of question. Did you do anything about financial stuff?
Yeah, you were out on the phone call. Do you need to say something?
No, I just wanted to hand this out. This is a list of everybody that's delinquent.
Oh, okay.
I was going to give it to Steve, and I don't know if the commissioner wanted to know it or not.
It's on English tonight.
All right.
The only thing I have new for my department is that I'm going to call the
interview
tomorrow.
For 2020.
Okay.
And I can send you that in the spreadsheet, too. I can email.
All right, so you are going to send letters to these people?
Yeah. I'm on call
the
water company tomorrow morning.
First thing. All right, we might even talk about that too, because I'm a little unclear.
Okay.
I know we talked about it last year in spring, like, to your point on the email. It's just there's still a fee associated with
it. It's $30
to turn them off.
No,
turn them back on.
$30 to turn them back on.
For a meeting.
But we still get billed monthly.
No.
There's not
you want to answer with my question, or do you want me to answer it?
I thought there was still like an $8 fee or something.
We don't get, once those meters are turned off, you'll probably get a final reading bill. But then after that, no.
Gotcha.
They won't.
So then it makes sense.
They won't charge for that, and there won't be any cross-connection fee associated with it, because there's no water going.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, we back to norm? All right, new business, and the water meters getting turned off was part of the new business.
I'm going to call tomorrow. I don't have, I'll let you know the exact cutoff date if they give me one.
Yeah, he said it didn't matter. Well, he didn't say it. I never heard from Bill, but I talked to the member of the works in his office, and she said, well, She said, when they come out and boil it out, it won't matter whether the water's off or not.
Okay. But I'll still let you know when they turn them off.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Is that Miner and Company? Is that new business?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is
yeah.
I received Appendix A from Miner and Company. They are a snow removal company. And with the prices for the upcoming year, they're the very same prices that were on the contract that was signed on November 4th, 2019, and is in effect until March 31st, 2022. So Mayor Stoneham signed it, and Bev is going to make a copy and send a copy, keep a copy, and send one on back to Billy Martin.
How much they pay me to use a rental property?
And let's pray that there'll be a nice winter, because last year it was.
All right. Anything else? Because I've got a couple of things. All right. First off, I got an email from Carrie, the Girl Scout leader. Apparently, she's got a couple of Girl Scout troops that want to put a geocache location within the city of Worthington Hills. And does anybody need an explanation of what a geocache is?
No, I know. I have friends that love it. I mean, they geocache all over the United States.
Okay.
Amazing.
I don't know what it is. Or if it is, I don't remember.
they had a box or a jar. They typically, there's a couple ways they do it. Sometimes there's just a notepad in there. You leave a message, sign your name, whatever. Sometimes there's a trinket in there, and you bring a trinket, you leave a trinket, you take the trinket. I mean, it's something they're hiding, and then you use your compass or waypoints to find it, clues and waypoints to find it. So
In fact, there's supposed to be one at the bench at the front of the subdivision. There's supposed to be one hidden in that bench.
Well, I can tell you for sure there's one at both islands.
Oh, both islands.
Can you look these things?
Yeah, they have something to do.
No one's asked.
Like the denture company.
Well, there's little painted rocks. That's why I say that. Someone's painted something on a rock and put it in the rock bed. Something, stuff like that. I'm sure that's what they do.
They go online and sign in.
Okay, so she asked for two of them. And
two locations.
And I was talking to Harold about the one location I'd like to have him use that's part of it's out in the green space, but it's very prevalent if you know it's there. My concern with putting them in the islands is physical damage to any of the plant life or whatever.
And what if somebody gets hurt?
Well, that's another thing. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. What do you think, Steve?
I'm sorry, I was following up on notes.
The geocache. The Girl Scout troops want to put a geocache in within the city limits.
A what cache?
A geocache.
What is that?
It's explain, Harold. You know better than I do.
People go around.
I'm wondering as well.
Well, people go around and they'll take like a Jif peanut butter jar and they'll put a notepad in it, and then you hide it somewhere outdoors, and then they give clues and waypoints for people to seek out and find that location, and they publish them somewhere, right? So they're all over the city. They're all over the country.
All over the
country. And sometimes there'll be a trinket in it, right? And the ideal is if you take the trinket to leave a trinket, right? And it's usually a rock or whatever, it's nothing of value. But it's to be able to find the location.
How are they giving the clues?
What do you mean? Most of them probably don't ask.
Is that the popular thing now?
It's huge. How's it been going on for years?
Are they giving clues on
Coded
message. You go on a website.
Yeah, there's different websites.
To your point, most people that geocache are children, and they're not geocaching alone.
Geocache.
Yeah.
Different things. My kids are in their 30s. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it's not illegal, how do you prevent them from doing it?
Yeah.
Well, they've asked permission, and now if they had done it without our permission and somebody got hurt, then...
I would just say, you know... I wouldn't say you committed to it. You just say you don't need our permission. It's like cutting the grass. It's like playing hide and seek, cops and robbers.
Yeah, my gut tells me there's already geocaches on our property.
I would just say that you don't need our permission because if you say you have, then somebody
knows where to go for sure.
Yeah, so I think that just for the minutes that cops are going to tell them that you don't need our permission.
I know there's one by the flagpole.
Why, did you put it there?
No, I've searched it to kids and I found it.
Oh.
It may not be there anymore, but it was.
But the answer to that is that they don't need our permission.
Yeah, it's just a game, really. It's, you're figuring out.
Are we liable for anything?
No, if you say you don't need our permission, it's just like me walking down, a kid walking down the sidewalk, and they get kidnapped. I mean, you know, you're not responsible for that.
So if you leave something on somebody else's property, like dog poop. You're not lying.
That's the issue. They're trespassing. Right?
I'm just being funny.
No, but think about that. If they're walking on other people's property, then that's
I don't think they're putting
it
on other
city
property. It's going to be like on the city property somewhere.
Well, then somehow along the line, somebody's going to get hurt, and then we're going to be...
No, you're not. Somebody's going to get hurt geocaching.
Huh? It's public property.
Yeah, it's...
Can I go to the green space and play soccer? If I get hurt, am I going to sue the city because I stepped in a hole?
Yeah, probably.
then we need to pave the city.
I agree with what Dan's saying. It's public property. I mean, like, I don't know. I see where he's coming from.
But where a lot of these kids don't know that it's a problem with walking on somebody's personal land.
No, they're not walking on people's personal land.
No, I think they're not going to put it on anybody's house. Or
no, they're not putting it on anybody's personal
land.
Perhaps they limited it to the green space and not the islands, because I can see what Harold's saying. You don't want them up in the islands, people tromping through the islands.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you is somebody's already done that.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah, so they didn't ask. I just tell them they don't need your property. That's why, or your permission. That's why I leave it. Because they're already on the property.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
And again, it is. It's a game. It's
you don't
no,
have
it's really
duty
no different than
to fill in every little hole on city property. You don't have a duty to do that. I don't know. Yeah, anybody can go on that property. Right?
Correct.
I could go up there and walk
Correct.
With my wife or anything. There's a thing called attractive nuisance. There's no attractive nuisance up there. You cut down the dangerous trees, it's just blank land. An attractive nuisance is something that is on someone's land that will attract a child. You know, like a
picnic table?
Like anything. Anything that draws kids in.
So what's with the attractive nuisance?
If there's no attractive nuisance, a lot of times it could be an old shed, it could be a trampoline, it could be,
swing
bars or something like that. Anything that draws the attention of a child, if you have an attractive nuisance that turns out to be dangerous and they get hurt, then you're liable. But see, monkey bars and all that stuff doesn't fit because inherently it's not dangerous unless someone falls. So you don't have any of that. And I tell you this, too. If somebody, and of course these kids are going to be monitored, right? Or not? How old are these kids?
Yes.
Adults do it.
Yeah.
Jesus, what do they have? I mean,
It's the shower. It is the one. Clues and
it's a lifestyle.
Waypoints and things to find something to say, hey, I found it.
Some people like to go hiking. Some people like to ride bikes. Some people like to read books. Some people
okay,
like
well,
to.
Well, I shouldn't say that because clogging was a big thing, and you know, clogging was good because that's what they wanted to do. Who am I to say what someone should do with their life?
It gets people outside and off the computer, so let them do it.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing: is some of those things are at 14,000 feet at the peak of a mountain too. I mean, they're everywhere. They put them.
Why do they tell people they're
everywhere? So it's not like all of them aren't really easy to get to.
But what is the biggest? The most expensive thing that one would expect.
It's nothing.
There was a guy.
Friendship bracelet.
The reward.
There was a guy on the web.
The reward finding. Putting together the clues and the waypoints and figuring out.
People going around like this and like that.
There was a guy at West that did one, and he passed away, and somebody recently found it worth several $1 million.
There's actually a book, Steve. We'll talk about it after the meeting. There's a book where it's what he's talking about, where a gentleman went out and used the same philosophy, creating clues and what have you. And he buried very valuable gemstones. And only like 3 of the 13 have been found. And this has been going on since the 60s.
Who wants to go out there with me?
I'm just having a flashback. It's treasure hunt.
Yeah,
that's
basically
what it is.
Okay,
that's it. Except it's now done with your...
GPS.
The GPS.
We go on scavenger hunt. They're all
Someone gets hurt, they have to prove. If someone gets hurt doing that, and then they go to an attorney and says, "I got hurt," they're not going to file litigation. They just say, "You know, there's no damages, or you broke your leg, but who's at fault? Yeah. You weren't paying attention. You know, you tripped."
All right. Does anybody have any objections? I can just tell them to do it. I don't want to know about it. Just do it. All right. The other thing we have is a couple more things.
Well, the secret's safe with me. I won't remember next week.
We have a property owner who has a postal service problem and didn't get her tax bill this year, and also talked to Dan, and this particular person also didn't, she's late on the 2018, but I know the reason for that one is her and her husband got divorced in 2018, and apparently the property was still in his name when the property tax bills went out, and they went to him, and she didn't get a copy of it, so anyhow, here's what she's asking. She's asking for forgiveness on the penalty for this year. In other words, letting her pay the August bill. And then she'll get caught up with the 18 and the 2020 bills so that we can get this all straightened out. And she has marked her calendars to make sure that she knows next year when the tax bills are due to be out to be looking for it. And if she doesn't get it, she knows to call. Apparently, she had some problems. She called at 18 because she says that she kept calling or emailing. And she didn't email because I've got access to the previous email. So she must have been calling and leaving a message and nobody returned her phone calls.
I'm sorry, I'll
lie for myself.
Oh, goodness.
So anyhow, what I'm requesting of the commission is that we can give her consideration on the problem. Because I sent you all documentation showing where they returned. Even ours got returned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And...
was the address correct on it?
Yeah, the address is absolutely correct. Yeah, the address is absolutely correct. She has been in contact with... she started with the postmaster at LaGrange, but the postmaster in LaGrange wasn't very friendly, as I understand, and she has gone above that person's head. And now they're going to be investigating LaGrange post office. So, yeah, this is rental property she's got.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is get the commission's approval to go ahead and give her the opportunity to pay the 2020 tax bills at the August rate, which is the flat rate,
and get caught up. She's got penalties on 2018. She already knows that. But I want to give this... I'd like for her to have the opportunity to get forgiveness on that. It amounts to, what is it, about $90 for this year?
At the most.
For the penalties. So, if there's no objection, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and give her the opportunity to pay the August rate for her taxes this year. And she'll get this all cleared up before the end of the month. So the motion is to allow her to pay the August rate because of her problem with the U.S. Postal Service. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner
Hall.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Do you have her email address and all that? I'll get it to you. All right, one more thing. I know it's still early, but Halloween is just around the corner, so I thought, well, we might as well start talking about Christmas so we can get that out there. As soon as the Halloween gets off, I can put the Christmas...
Easter.
Oh. Are we going to have a Christmas contest again this year?
Sure.
Should we do it the same as we did last year? Where we
I
have
don't like the door thing. I don't understand the door. Having a door.
What's the door thing?
I mean, I'm just asking.
It's a window decoration.
Huh?
If someone just decorates their window.
Just the door. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, not the outside, just the inside. Some people just can't decorate the inside or the outside, you know?
I understand that, okay. But okay. I didn't understand it last year. Uh-huh. If I did, I don't remember if I did.
Anyhow, I'd like to go ahead and get this resolved this month so we can give people, you know, Christmas decorations are out. You know, they got out with the Halloween this year. I mean, there is a lot of Halloween decorations out.
Hopefully. And I did the same thing, Mr. Mayor, that I did at Christmas time. I went out week before last to do the light check, and I got so interested in looking at the decorations, I forgot to look at the street lights. I had to turn around and go back.
Okay. So... are we doing the 150 or 175, 50, and 50 for the just the inside decoration like we did last year?
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that means three overall and then one for the inside.
Yeah, just a window or door or whatever. You don't have to have any lawn decorations or anything. Okay. Everybody understand that part now?
Yeah, and could you make it really clear? Because I didn't understand that you could vote. How often can you vote? At least once a week or
once a day.
Once a day. And I did not understand that, or I was, yeah. Because I was kind of eliminating some people.
No, you can vote as many times you want.
So please make that really clear.
Okay, all right.
On the website.
On the website.
Yeah, it'll have the same type of form. We'll put the form back up, and that way they can just go on the website and fill in the form.
Okay.
Well, that's why I wanted to get it out this year early. All right. So, do I hear a motion for the $100, 75 per second, third is 50, and that's for decorations inside and out, and then we have a $50 for just inside decoration. If we can, like, a window. We had the winner of the window in the audience, by the way.
I wouldn't even say anything.
So, do I hear a motion to go with the holiday? Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. We're moving along. All right, Commissioner's reports.
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay.
You know, we're doing the CORRC where the people write in, email me, wanting tax information, payment records, anything past due. They're refinancing, selling property or whatever. and we require the form to be filled out, notarized, and a $3 fee. We have one attorney that sends us one maybe two or three times since the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And he would like to send us, for example, maybe $30. And that would cover him for 10 times. We'd have to send $3 each time. We wanted to bring it about to the commissioners and see if you all think that's okay.
I'll stop at an arbitrary number like 30.
He didn't come up with a number.
Oh.
You know, he might have only done it twice since the summer, so 30 might be high for him.
So who's going to monitor that?
I said I would. Because I'm the one that gets the $3 anyway.
Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben. I forgot all about that. I knew there was something else I needed to bring up.
So is that okay? Do we need to have a motion, or are y'all just going to say okay, or what?
I mean, do we have to take a vote to put money in the fund?
We just want to make...
Or just let you all know that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
And if other people come up with that in the future, is it okay for me to say, yes, you can do that. Send me a blank that
mold
in
either.
Yes. That's right.
Hang on a minute. Dan's over here. Hang on.
I think we need to tell them it's non-refundable.
That's what I was just going to say.
Okay.
You can do that, but if you quit sending the money, we're not sending your money back. We'll do this as a courtesy for you, but we're not getting involved.
All right,
yet.
Okay.
Because that would require a vote, right?
Yeah, to send money back, I guess it would.
All right, I'll let them know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Beverly, for following up on that. I'm sorry I left it off, and I appreciate you.
I like the number 300, babe. I was just throwing that out there.
Okay.
All right.
On the $300?
Yeah.
Commissioner report, who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
Thank you.
I checked the street lights each week and had no outages to report during the month of September. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Will you make sure you email that to me?
I will email this to you tonight. I'll write
the whole name.
And Linda.
Very pretty, right? You should put that on
there. The decorations are beautiful.
You should put that on there.
Linda.
I don't know about the street lights, but look.
Are you this morning when I went to work, the light at the corner of Bay Run and Lutenberg was on. When I come home, it's out. So
okay, I'll wrap a piece of tape around it tonight if it's not
okay.
Lutenberg and Bay Run.
Right. Mhm.
Oh, right. Okay, I know that.
Right. Not the Northumberland side, the Lutenberg side.
Okay.
It's right there on the corner.
Well, I'll tell you what. I won't wrap a piece of tape around it, and I'll tell you why. Because they told me once that there could be a short in the light and not to touch the pole if it's coming off and going on. So,
yeah, I don't know if it's off or totally, but I did drive around long enough to know that when I came back around a second time, it was still off.
But I will report it. Lindenberg and Bay Run at the intersection.
At the intersection.
I'll report it tonight.
Yeah, right there by the stop sign.
Yeah, but if you don't see a piece of tape on
that's
it,
fine.
It's because
that's
they've
fine.
Told me in the past, don't touch them if they're
right.
coming off the north.
That's fine. That's
because
right.
they don't want the utilities commissioner getting electrocuted. Have that
okay.
on
the All right, Commissioner Campbell, go ahead.
Okay. I've already told you about the appendix from Miner & Company. And then I also participated on September 21st and 28th. I delivered welcome bags to the new residents at 12001 and 12003 Bay Run Drive. On September 30th, I purchased items from Dollar Tree for 10 more welcome bags for new residents. And on October 17th, I delivered welcome bags to residents at 3807 and 3824 Northumberland Drive. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's it. I know that it isn't really quite probably in the road commissioners, but I have enjoyed doing this. Sylvia kind of got this going. I've enjoyed doing it. And since there's no snow right now, this works out fine.
Okay, good. All right. Commissioner Hall.
920-927 mowed primary property. 920 and 928 mowed the weed and secondary property, the items. 927 did general cleanup, trimmed all the bushes and the flagpoles and mowing them for it, basically got them all ready for winter. 10-1 contacted Evergreen about winterizing the sprinkler systems and was informed they were going to start that process on 10-15. 10-3, Melanie Masterson reached out to me concerned about a neighbor who has electric wires sticking out of their home. I suggested she send a response to Metro 311 for code violation. 1014 returned a call to Aaron Grissom, which reminds me, I need that guy's name, Bob. Do you have the contact information for the guy that did the survey? I don't have it. I can't find it.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, I don't have it. But anyway, I told her that I would get back to her. She was concerned about a dispute she had with one of her neighbors and wanted to know if the city did surveying. I explained to her we didn't. And then I told her I'd follow up with the guy that did mine. But I can't find this information. Anyway, 1019 left message for Bill Funk at Evergreen about turning off water to sprinklers prior to him doing what he needs to do. And I heard from them today. I heard from her today. I saw your email. I see you ran into it.
Yeah. I ran into him at the bank.
I wouldn't know him if I ran into him. So.
All right. Commissioner Metcalf.
Drove the city on several occasions. Went to the post office with Mayor Stoneham each Friday. Went to the storage area with Mayor Stoneham on one occasion. Received a call from Estelle Quisenberry on 10-10-20 at 8:20 a.m. that an individual was on their front porch refusing to leave. He was requesting a ride to LaGrange. It is believed that the subject had been in their vehicles. When I arrived, the subject was standing on the front porch. Mr. Quisenberry then came out, and we persuaded the subject to leave. I called Metro Police, and the officer ran a check on the subject, and he came back clear. So they couldn't do anything with him because they didn't see him in the vehicles. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner McCaff. Is there anything else? Anybody in the audience got anything to say? All right. Then, wait a minute.
I'm kind of curious as to whether or not you guys have talked about some of the break-ins recently on the streets. I've seen a lot of posts on the neighborhood app about teenagers breaking into cars.
They don't break into the cars. The cars are unlocked. If they don't lock their cars, they're going to get in the cars. And there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
Oh, I'm not trying to say, yeah, of course, yeah. You know, you've got those kind of situations, but some of what I've seen was a little bit more than that recently. But I understand where you're coming from. Because, you know, obviously everybody's always going to complain, you know, and there's always going to be those kind of things. But I have seen a more recent sort of, like, you know, kind of discussion about
what
that.
What street?
All over.
In Worthington, so Northumberland, Bayron, etc.
It's an instant phenomenon. It's been going on for years, and they're looking for guns primarily. So if you leave your car,
guns, cash,
yeah.
Well, the
cell phones.
That I saw were like folks that had like Zoom, you know, like kind of what is that term to work on? Like
ring bells. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay,
so it's the same group of kids each time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark, here's the thing. All right, they get on next door and complain, and they don't call the cops.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So
okay.
911 is a great, you know, use for that kind of situation.
No.
You don't want to call 911 immediately. If it's an emergency, obviously call 911. But 311, you can report an incident.
Well, see, the thing is they need to be calling 911 anytime there's anybody doing anything on their property. If they see him on a ring or on a video,
they make a report.
They need to be calling the police because the police need to know about it. And if they and the thing is, they'll put it on next door. They'll put the video on next door and never call the cops.
Almost everyone I've talked to, when I ask them if they call the police, they say no.
Oh, I know. We're well aware of it. But here again is the argument back at him is next door is not 911.
Right, exactly, absolutely.
And on our website, going across the top, it says, see something, say something.
So how do we make our neighborhood more safe, though? I mean, like, I realize that, you know, like, yes, there's always going to be crime. But
when it happened last year, they were talking about Neighborhood Watch. And they had a meeting set up at Rudy's for the first meeting, and three people showed up.
Yeah.
Not even the guy that set up the neighborhood watch meeting showed up. So,
yeah, yeah.
And two of the people that showed up were in this room.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, if people want to get out and be proactive about walking the neighborhood at night, and you know, because really what has to happen is, like Bob said, they have to be reported immediately. Having it on video, even if you gave that to the cops, they're not going to do anything with it.
Well, it's funny. Every week that I saw that post on next door, I mean, like immediately, I saw a cop posted out right in front of that a preschool on Northumberland. I'll see them kind of, you know, like, and that happens anytime I hear about police kind of like, you know, activity. Say for example, it wasn't too long ago, there was a guy that stole a car, I guess from a bank, and like they ended up, it was a, what's that neighborhood right next to us that's kind of
Lakeville.
Exactly, yeah. He started running and through those trees, they brought out helicopters and stuff like that. And for about 2 weeks straight after that happened, I saw a cop car sat right there on Northumberland, which, you know, I think that's a good thing. I mean, like, I don't mind police being in
our security pole patrol last month caught a felon with how many outstanding warrants in a stolen car on Northumberland, and the reason why they stopped him was because he had a headlight out. Our patrols have strict orders to stop every car with a headlight out, taillight out, no tag lights, over tinted windows, speeding, and anything else. Okay, and this is the only way we're going to catch them. And the thing is you just, we don't have them out all the time. Because we don't have the funds to have patrol out 24/7. Okay, but we have them out at strategic times. I don't even know where they're out. Okay, Dennis doesn't know when they're out. Okay.
I ran into one of them last week.
Well, we get every month, we get their schedule after they've been out, along with every week we get activity reports of what they've done. And basically, they're out there. I know some people think it's petty to be doing the parking ticket, but let me tell you what. You start at the low end and go to the high end.
Well, one thing I noticed when I first became commissioner, on the very first street light check that I did, I noticed all the cul-de-sacs that had no street light on them. They had one at the intersection, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly, but I think I was able to get 12 new street lights put in. And I would like to think that that's helped some. No, but that was something, because I noticed on next door, people were saying, you know, I live here, and they're breaking into my car at night. Well, and like the mayor says, your car's unlocked. You know, that's part of the problem. But they were hiding in the darkness, and it was. I mean, it was pitch. I could sit at the intersection of Heathville and Lunenburg, and I couldn't see at the back end of Heathville. I couldn't see it. I didn't even know there were houses down there. You know, so but people have to take some responsibility for themselves and lock their cars.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. No.
But okay. I was like, yeah, it's been on my mind.
But like that vehicle he was talking about earlier, there was a stolen vehicle. He pulled him over for having one headlight out. And sometimes that's all it takes to find something. You know, they just have to be there at the right time.
Right. So they're out there. Trust me, they're out there. You just won't. We now have two of them are running with marked cars, and one is running with an unmarked car.
I've seen them all around.
Okay. All right. But we have got them. We've got them set up on strategic times. The problem is, I go out every morning, and if anybody's got ring doorbell, okay, they'll see me drive anytime between 2:00 and 2:45. Okay. I run every street, and I see. My problem is what are the parents why aren't they controlling these teenagers? The teenagers shouldn't be out at that time.
They're probably out looking for geocaches.
It's in the car. Anything else?
That's funny.
Okay, Bev.
That's really funny.
We're going on our annual Halloween camping trip. I'll be going tomorrow until Sunday.
No,
if you're looking for me, you won't find me.
Wait a minute, you're I thought that was in June.
Well, that's the fishing trip. This is the Halloween trip.
Oh, okay. All right.
A week from Saturday.
So y'all do it a week early?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to camp on Halloween. We're going to boots
ball. All right.
We're just going to Taylorsville. It's hard to find.
If all you're going to do is yip yap, I'm going to.
All right.
No yip yapping.
Do I hear a motion to end the meeting?
I make a motion to end the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Thank you. 8:21.